Student government, a 30th anniversary, and no athletics. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director, and thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. For the first time since mid-March, there was an semblance of normalcy on Tennessee Tech's campus. Students listened to lectures, ate in the cafeteria, hung out on Centennial Plaza, and interacted on Zoom and Teams as the fall semester officially got underway. The issues that students bring before the Student Government Association may also be a little different than in the past. So, to give us an SGA perspective on the fall semester is SGA President Aaron Lay. Aaron, first of all, welcome back to campus. How happy are you to at least be back on campus and be back at Tennessee Tech?
Yeah, you know, in March when we were sent home, it was almost scary that we didn't know when we would be back. And so it's certainly exciting to be back on campus and glad that August rolled around and we found a way to get back on campus. So it's good to be here.
Now, from a student perspective, where are you from and what brought you to Tennessee Tech?
Yeah, so I'm from Madisonville. It's a small town in East Tennessee. It's right in the middle of Knoxville and Chattanooga. And so, you know, I was looking for a good college that was affordable and was close to home and had my major and what I was interested in. And so I'm actually studying agriculture communications, getting a minor in political science, and had a background in agriculture and heard good things about the School of Ag whenever we were touring. And so that's how I landed at Tennessee Tech. Yeah.
So what do you want to do with that major?
So I'm actually thinking about going to law school.
Okay.
And maybe studying agricultural or environmental law. May work in policy or the legislative side of things, but not really worked all those kinks out yet, but that's what we're looking at right now. So
now what inspires you to get involved in SGA?
You know, I've always had a fascination of government, and I was in student government in high school, which, of course, it's a completely different animal now in college. But, you know, I really wanted to be the voice for the students. A lot of times I know that students have student opinion and have these ideas, great ideas, honestly, that they want to bring to Tennessee Tech, to the administration. And sometimes they don't know how to really articulate those or have the means to actually have their voice heard. And so it's good to work with student government as their official liaison between the students and the administration. And so it's been fun to be involved in that role this far.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about SGA in a moment. But for you personally, as far as your classes, as far as being back on campus, do you live in a dorm or do you live in an apartment? You know, just kind of what does the semester look like for you?
Yeah, so I actually have a house off campus that I rent. And, you know, I've actually been kind of fortunate that a lot of my classes are meeting at least once a day, or not once a day, but once a week. Mm-hmm. So whenever we're breaking up some of those sections, I've been able to come to at least one of those and get some in-person instruction, which, you know, whenever we were looking at going into the fall, that was something that I thought was extremely important for students and that I always enjoyed getting that in-person feel. So I've got one that's online and then some that I go to just one day a week. And then, of course, there's the hybrid courses that we're playing with. And I think it's going to be interesting, but I'm glad that it's at least workable and feasible right now for us to receive our education.
Yeah, you know, it's first week of classes. Students are back on campus. From an SGA perspective, what are you hearing? Are students coming to you as, you know, the SGA president? You know, just kind of what is happening with SGA at this point?
Yeah, so first and foremost, you know, we've had some cancellation and rescheduling with some of our events that we're used to seeing on campus, and so students have kind of voiced their concerns that they still want to be involved with one another and be able to interact, and so we're looking at ways to maybe do that virtually or spread out groups to where we aren't all together in one space and kind of making a mess of ourselves, if I will. But, you know, also, I'm in the process of appointing our freshman senators, and so we've got about 1,800 students that are joining us on campus now.
Wow.
With the freshman class, and so we've been going through interviews, and we've had a ton of interest from the freshman class that want to be involved with being a voice for the students, and hopefully we can get those put in by the end of this week and get them to work for the students.
You know, I would think that SGA has, you know, some of the usual things that you look at, you know, no matter who the president is or you know, what the time frame is as far as being on campus. But with this pandemic, I mean, to me, it seems like there would be a whole new set of issues opened up for SGA to have to deal with.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we talked back in April when we were actually going through the election process. There were all these ideas that we wanted to implement. We were like, we're going to form all of these pillars and you know, focus on student health and safety and transparency and all, you know, the campaign platforms that everybody wants to promise going into a new administration. Right. But we've kind of taken a step back as an SGA, especially my executive council and cabinet, and we want to be reactive and proactive to the students right now and just try to be that channel of student opinion. If someone has an issue or if something arises where they have a concern, even if it's not related to coronavirus right now, we want to be sure that we are actually taking those concerns and getting them through the right channels into administration. So of course there's things that we want to do in our administration. Maybe we'll hold off till spring to start springing up some new ideas, right. But we certainly want to be reactive and proactive, as I said, to our current situation this fall.
So as the student government outlet, how important is it for you and to your cabinet to, I guess, talk about the importance of, you know, students taking care of themselves, doing the right things, and, you know, doing what is right so everybody can stay on campus?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. We've got to have some student self-responsibility for us to even to stay here throughout the whole, you know, fall semester and maybe even to be here in the spring. And I think it's ultimately up to the students, and it's probably up to what the students do off of campus, to be honest. You know, here on campus, we're pretty regulated. We've got signs up everywhere. We're all wearing masks and trying to be socially distant, and the university has control over what happens here on campus. But then we also have to take note of what we do when we go out at night or whenever we're having fun with one another, which I 100% encourage to get out, form community. That's what college is about. But we also need to realize that this is a different situation that we're in right now, and we need to be careful. We need to be responsible and try to make sure that we can do our part so that we can be here for the rest of this semester.
What do you think is going to be your biggest challenge as SGA president?
You know, I hate to sound like, you know, this cliche answer, but, you know, COVID is going to bring up a big challenge. And the thing is that the past 4 or 5 months, whatever we want to call it, we've heard everyone say that everything is extremely fluid. Everything changes in an instant. And I think just being able to be adaptable and be able to change in an instant and be able to be reactive to things that come, that are thrown at us, and those curveballs that we need to get ready for, I think those will probably, there'll probably be challenges that we'll face that we don't even know are challenges yet. I mean, I saw something on an article the other day that they're predicting the Farmer's Almanac is that we have this hardest, like, winter in history. And so who knows what 2020 has
for us. Just add something else to it.
Right, for sure. So, you know, I just really want to be adaptable and be able to be reactive to the situations that are thrown at us.
Yeah, great answer. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, not really. Just want to say that the SGA is here for the students. I know sometimes SGA, maybe people don't know what SGA is. You know, I was in the library the other day and I had to explain the difference between an SOA, a student orientation leader, and then SGA, or the student government. And we truly are here for the students. Our office is in 214 on top of the UC, and so we would love for anybody. Our door is always open, or if you want to set up a virtual office hour, we'd love to do that. But if you have any student opinion or comment, concern, or just want to chat, we'd love to have you and be able to help you out with any situation you've got going on. So,
all right, Aaron Lay, SGA President, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we'll talk about the 30th anniversary of the Leona Lusk Officer Black Cultural Center. Stay with us.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. The Black Cultural Center turns 30 this year. Named after Leona Lusk Officer, the first black graduate of Tennessee Tech, there is a year-long celebration planned for the center. Here to tell us all about it is Charia Campbell, the Director of Multicultural Affairs. Charia, big celebration, 30 years of the Leona Lusk Officer Black Cultural Center. What are some of the things that that you want to celebrate, that you want to accentuate about this, you know, 30th anniversary?
Thanks, buddy, for allowing me to talk a little bit about the 30th anniversary. So August is officially the month that the center was opened here in 1990 at Tennessee Tech's campus. Of course, Dr. Volpe, and there's about three or four students who were very instrumental in getting this center established. We have a lot of information that actually the archivists are actually helping us compile and put together and hopefully be able to preserve in a much better state. So we are working with several departments across campus, from the archivist over in the library to our Multicultural Affairs Alumni Advisory Council, to our alumni office here on campus, as well as the development office, to really promote and push kind of the idea of preserving the history and helping people to understand why this center has been so important to Black students, but also the Black faculty and staff here at Tech's campus throughout the years. A lot of the information in a short version is shared on our website, but one of the things we're doing is just trying to get the word out so people know why we're here and why this center was established. So we'll kick off with several virtual events this fall. Hopefully in the spring we'll be able to get some stuff back on campus, but we've got a great video that we're about to use to push and promote about the center, and we got a few students involved with that. So we got a lot of things coming up.
Yeah, I would guess that with COVID-19, your planning had to change a little bit from some of the on-campus stuff, especially in the fall, to now the virtual stuff. But how do you get the word out right now in just what has become a virtual society, especially for, you know, campus?
So definitely COVID-19 kind of shifted our plans from March all the way up until now. We were actually hoping to have the second annual Legacy Gala this year, and that was going to be our kickoff in April during Wings Up weekend. But, of course, everything had to get canceled during that time frame. So we pushed a lot of stuff back to the fall. So we actually have a calendar of events that we're working with. Like I said, development. Amanda over in development is helping us get some of that going. And she's helped us connect even further with just beyond their departments and the library and alumni center, but also with some of the colleges and schools, and getting us connected with deans and faculty members from like the College of Human Sciences and Ag, who are going to help us do like a fashion show virtually. And
okay,
we're actually going to be working with athletics to have a athlete panel to get some of the former athletes back and get some of the student athletes involved in that. So we've been reaching out to different people. So between our Facebook and Instagram page, and they're actually working with OCM, of course, yeah. Cody, to get us a whole website and a web page going to really promote and push the event. So hopefully we will release the video either not today or tomorrow on our social media pages and try to do a big push for people to share that. We have some alumni in our Multicultural Affairs alumni group or other Black alums who've been really instrumental and supportive in keeping the center going, who I know will do a great job in supporting. So we got a good group of people, not just here on campus, but also from the alumni side who are working with us. The College of Business has started a couple of virtual conversations that we have. Yeah. And so as they are editing those and getting those ready, those will be promoted. So we're combining a lot of our different resources with, like I said, the campus department and our alumni to really get the word out there and to do a variety of different events to give people a broad perspective, from the educational to the social to the professional, networking for our current students and helping them as well. So we got a lot of things going on.
You know, I know you've been on campus now a couple of years, two, three. I mean,
actually a year and a half coming up on two.
So. Okay, yeah, it goes by quick. So what's been your assessment of the cultural center and kind of where it needs to go from this point?
So, I, you know, one of the things I really saw coming in when the students came back, because I came in January about 2 weeks or so before students actually came back to campus in 2019, was just seeing the camaraderie and the fellowship and the friendships that had been built, and just hearing the students share of how important this space is, not just from an academic, but that personal and social, emotional, spiritual well-being, that they get a little bit of all of it. And having programs like the Reach and Achievement and Committed to Excellence, our RACE program, our peer mentoring program, using that as a tool and a vehicle to connect students as they come in from underrepresented groups, starting them off as freshmen the week before school starts, and yeah, kind of throwing them in this whole college experience with their peers and with faculty and staff and administrators who really have a passion for helping our students. that right there really showed that this center has done so much. And then being able to connect with the alumni through the advisory council, the MAC as we call it, and hearing them tell their stories and them saying, how can we help? And not knowing me. And I said, well, here's something the students told me. And, you know, to have people volunteer to come and spend their time on campus and have a networking panel that should have had like a few students and lasted 30, 45 minutes, turned into an hour and a half. And then we had another one in November that we had the space full and it was standing room only. That again turned into like a 2 or 3 hour event of just getting the alumni saying, I want to come back, and seeing this alumni council start to grow and the traction from that, even though they had a informal group prior to, but coming in and starting to work with Dr. Robb and Harry Engel and Mark Burnett while he was still here on a lot of these programs and initiatives, and the alumni saying, we hear you, what can we do? Yeah. Not just monetarily, which we know that's a big thing we need to do and get support and kind of redesign and kind of make this space a little bit more up to date and provide some other ways and technologies, which we're working on and trying to push the diversity scholarship initiative so we can start giving our students, you know, scholarships, not just getting them here, but helping them financially and having these support systems and programs in place. So we've actually been able to expand our race program thanks to support of people on campus seeing what we want to do and saying, we'll partner with you. So we just received this great TBR grant to start our Race Plus program. So we're going to keep our students from sophomore to senior level connected, not just as mentors and ambassadors, but as many students as we can. So I think this space is becoming a hub for our Black students, but also so many other students of color, and even seeing the Hispanic student population grow and kind of connect with us in certain ways during the past year and that kind of thing. So helping them. But I think what we're doing, starting with our current students, our Black students on campus, and getting more of our faculty and staff connected in the different departments, there's so much more room for growth. We got so many ideas. Yeah. It's a lot we can come up with and always dreaming and thinking about something. So it's just a matter of kind of taking it day by day and little by little and piece by piece and just working at it. So
if you had a crystal ball to look into for the next 30 years for the Leona Lusk Officer Black Cultural Center, what would you like to see happen in those next 30 years?
Definitely. You know, if we had a larger space to do more stuff, you know, we could get a building. And making this space kind of just be kind of the catalyst for other spaces, for other underrepresented groups. So where we go from a Black cultural center to also having one to support our Latinx and, you know, our Native American students and just other backgrounds and the LGBT community. Of course, we have the Women's Center. But this space growing and being a larger space and having more opportunities for events and larger scale events. Like I said, it would be great if we could have a building, updating our computer lab and changing out our conference room. But this space being a hub, we've already had some of the athletic teams and departments. They have started like right before everything shut down. Like, can we use your space to have a meeting? Because we want the students to know, those students who typically won't come up here wouldn't know what it was. Not just the Black Cultural Center, but even the Multicultural Affairs Office. We want to get them engaged in knowing what's here and knowing that there's so many resources and how important that they expand their mind and their experiences with one another. So that's a great thing that we actually have. Some of our sports teams and some of our departments who are now like, oh, we know this space is here. We really need to get involved. We're hearing and seeing so much more about what you all are doing. How can we connect ourselves, but also connect the students? So that's definitely that crystal ball could get us some money to get us another space, a bigger space, and using this, like I said, as a catalyst to build other spaces and centers. So everybody kind of feels that they have a space, not just to feel comfortable and safe and share, but also be an educational kind of learning experience to help everybody on campus really learn about diversity and inclusion and how we can be more equitable here at Tech, and for Tech to become a catalyst and a champion for diversity and equity and kind of being a leader. You know, that's the thing. I think there's so much we can do here that can kind of, you know, spearhead some things, just not here in Cookeville and Putnam County, but across not just the state, but even nationally. So,
you know, we see all of the issues that are out there today around the country. How does that translate into conversations that are being held on campus here at Tennessee Tech?
So with everything that happened, of course, with George Floyd, but right before that, we had Ahmaud Arbery, and hearing about Breonna Taylor, and we can go back to 2014 and keep going all the way back to the Michael Browns and everybody else who we have seen in the Sandra Bland's, you know, that were either murdered or hurt or killed. And now we just had Mr. Blake this week, you know, and that unrest. But to see that this has become a national thing, and that's what we were just on a Zoom call that one of the counselors in counseling services, Ms. Shante Russell, had just decided to do something, and we actually got a few students, and I just got off of that. But to hear those students' voices and to hear what they're experiencing, and for them to open up, because a lot of times, and for most of, pretty much everybody on there was a Black male, to hear them open up and share, because a lot of times we tend to tell males not to share things, but to hear them share that experiences and knowing how we can support, our conversations haven't stopped, and that's a good thing.
Right.
So we had a few meetings with students, and we opened it up in a virtual platform in June and kind of early July, where we offered the space for students to share, but also for our Black faculty and staff to share, to support each other and let us all know, one, who's here, how we can support each other, but how we can also spread this message throughout campus. But right. we also invited our Commission on the Status of Blacks, which is a very diverse group of faculty, staff, and administrators on this campus, and to have other people who were not just Black faculty, staff, and students on there to hear, but also for them to share their thoughts and feelings and to just say, we don't know, how can we help? I think we have started something, and to even have had conversations with the president. President Odom, you know, has had taken the time not to just meet with faculty and staff and administrators, but also students.
Sure.
So trying to just continue to work with him and the administration and other people, and just to hear from the students and anybody else, what else can we do and how can we do it, and how do we get from just talking about it to let's get some actionable steps. And I think with this racial healing task force that he has put in place, and there's actually two, there's one also in athletics as well. I think with these two initiatives, they're going to be key starting points to, one, continue the conversations, but two, to get us to some actionable steps and to start doing things and being more inclusive and more equitable and moving to a place, like I said, that where tech can actually become a leader and a champion more so for diversity, equity, inclusion, and to show that, you know, at PWIs on our scale, and sometimes that are in the more rural areas, and the differences that kind of make tech what it is, that, you know, that there are people who still care.
Yeah. And I think you make a good point, because I think that's one thing that people want to see, is not just for conversations to take place in the Black Cultural Center, but they also want to see the conversations take place on campus and in the community. And like you said, for, you know, tech to have the opportunity to be a leader in that, that would certainly bode well. You know, just from a social perspective and a racial perspective.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think working with groups like Impact and the NAACP chapter here for Putnam County in the Cookeville area, but also other groups, I think that's going to help. So as we kind of build here, spreading that to the community is definitely going to be a big help. So,
well, back to the 30th anniversary of the Leona Lusk Officer Black Cultural Center. Do you think there will be any live events in the spring for the Leona Lusk Officer Black Cultural Center 30th anniversary celebration?
That's our hope. We're hoping COVID-19 will kind of, you know, begin to settle down, and maybe there'll be some vaccines, and, you know, things will just kind of get better if we all do what we need to do with these masks and everything. I think, you know, so far the students seem to be doing well, you know, with that, and faculty and staff here. So our hope is, yes, to have a couple of these events. Including also one of the things we're working with the Office of Admissions is to hopefully have an in-person somewhat of a diversity recruitment day that we're trying to have.
Great.
Something we've been just kind of been talking about, and Dr. Keller, since he's been on board, has been great in working with us just across the board, and what can we do in increasing our numbers in terms of diversity and definitely African-American students. So that's going to be one of our focuses for this November, is to have this event to bring some students and hopefully, you know, a parent or two to campus, but to really connect them with our students here on campus, but also get alumni involved as well as the faculty staff. So it's going to be a little different than the typical ones, but there's going to be a strong focus to do that on what, maybe homecoming, we don't know. But it will be that weekend of like homecoming, to bringing them here on campus and giving them as much of a full experience, and hope that we'll get some more students here. That will carry over hopefully in the spring to do another one to broaden that spectrum. And the group that we're targeting will be more diverse populations and not just African-American students. That's what our target is for November. But then opening it up to all diverse backgrounds. Hopefully that'll continue into, like you said, the spring, going into the Legacy Gala.
Yeah.
Our hope is to do that whenever Wings Up Weekend or somewhere around that time, but also to have an actual celebration the morning before to give people a chance to come back and reconnect. So actually starting in about a week or so, we will have displays set up that Megan is doing over, Megan Atkinson over in the archives.
Yeah.
She and some of her team are getting some stuff together to actually change out displays, so things will be continuously rotating out here in the hallway and the display cases so people can come by and see and learn more about the history of tech and all of that kind of stuff and what has been accomplished and come out of this and even before the center was established. So we really want to capture that historical perspective of how we got to that point. So hopefully, like I said, starting with that and getting this video out and the website going, we'll start with the virtual and hopefully January, February for sure. Maybe we can start kicking some stuff off, but the hope is by the spring to have that in-person event and to really get those key instrumental people back on campus and a time to celebrate with the students and their families and everybody in the community during that Wings Up Weekend and Legacy Gala time. So
that'd be great. Chari Campbell, the Director of Multicultural Affairs here at Tennessee Tech, talking about the Leona Lusk Officer 30th Anniversary of the Black Cultural Center. Anything else you want to add?
Not too much. I just thank you for the opportunity to share, and we would love to have everybody participate and celebrate and just keep checking the website, the Multicultural Affairs website, and probably some stuff will be available on the alumni website as well. Check out our social media pages again and the different social media pages that are connected to tech. We'll be advertising as much as we can and invite everybody to join us virtually and, of course, in person, hopefully next spring in 2021.
So. All right. Well, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
When the world is moving this fast, boldness is rewarded. At Tennessee Tech, we help you find your bold. We'll help you turn it into a career-ready education. That's Tennessee Tech. Bold futures begin here. tntech.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. Normally, campus would be gearing up for soccer, volleyball, and football games. But with the Ohio Valley Conference postponing fall sports, that won't be the case this semester. What is the state of athletics right now at Tennessee Tech? Mark Wilson, Tech's athletics director, joins us to answer that question. What does an athletics director do when there aren't any scheduled athletic events?
That's a great question, but actually we are busier now than we typically are. We're just not actually conducting or physically conducting the events, but all the planning that we're having to do related to COVID, the testing that we're having to organize, the screening that we're having to do, making sure that our student athletes are staying safe and healthy and following all the guidelines, along with planning, continuing to plan now for men's and women's basketball season and what that can look like. And so there's lots of work going into that, along with looking at the postponement of fall sports to the spring, looking at is that possible and all the different rules and that may go along with that, and then just work what do our seasons look like right now in the fall for those teams that are not practicing? So trying to get clarification from the governing body, the NCAA and the Ohio Valley Conference, and make institutional decisions about, how we practice and what we can do to make sure that we train our athletes. So when competition does have presents itself to us, that we are, physically and mentally prepared for competition.
Yeah, and I know, it's always tough to make decisions and make those tough calls. And obviously, postponing fall sports to the spring was certainly a tough call. And I'm sure that was one that, it comes with mixed emotions. You want to make sure that your student athletes are safe and healthy, but at the same time, you love to see them be able to compete too.
Absolutely. We did want the ability to be able to compete. And I actually felt like that we could compete in following the protocols and the testing, and we feel like we could have done that at Tennessee Tech and kept our student athletes safe and healthy. But there were some additional burdens that were put on by the NCAA that we still have not fully worked through all of them yet, that we thought were, could potentially be burdensome for the university and for the athletic program. And we didn't want to do that, and we felt like that we were going to lose one of our three non-conference games. So at that point in time, the only two games that we would have had scheduled were both FBS games. And, we probably could have worked to pick up some other FCS opponents. But We didn't want our student athletes to feel like, because as the OVC Board of Presidents, the vote came down, actually came down to that you could play non-conference football games. And we just felt like, we didn't want our student athletes to feel like we were selling them out just to be able to play the guarantee games, yeah. Which the revenue would have been very important, because sure. That's a whole other challenge for us, is the lack of revenue we have from playing, fall football and playing guarantee games and ticket sales and concessions revenue and all those different revenue sources that help, fund the entire athletics program. But at the end of the day, we just felt like that in talking to our student athletes and all the different constituent groups, that it was best for us not to play any football games.
Yeah, and I know that's tough, but you make a good point, selling out your student athletes. And sometimes, it can be appear to seem that way if you're just playing money games just for, purely to make some money. But hopefully they'll be able to play in the spring. But you mentioned basketball. Where are we with basketball? And I know there's a lot of folks, I'm sure, interested in getting their season tickets and want to see some hoops in the Hooper Eblen Center.
Yeah, season tickets are on sale now. People can order their season tickets. If we don't, end up playing a season, then certainly people can turn that into a donation for Tennessee Tech Athletics or one of the basketball teams, or we'll refund their money. But we are planning on playing basketball. The Basketball Oversight Committee continues to meet. That's the NCAA Basketball Oversight Committee for both men's and women's basketball. They continue to meet. They're looking at different start dates for basketball. Personally, we believe that we would like to see basketball start on time. Their regular game can begin November 10th. There are some models to look at, maybe beginning November 20th. November 25th or December 4th. Those are some things that the Basketball Oversight Committee is looking at. Mm-hmm. Personally, we're advocating for a normal start. We think that's what's best. It spreads out the season, does not compress the season as much. And, Tennessee Tech, we're off to a good start to the semester. And we think we're going to be able to maintain the semester with in-person classes. So we believe that keeping the schedule as normal as we possibly can is what's best.
Well, we certainly appreciate you being with us. I know you are busy. It was just there is so much to do and so many things to be looking at and following up on and reading and we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Anything else you want to add?
No, appreciate the opportunity, buddy. And everybody keep their wings up and keep their masks on.
All right, thanks so much. And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the T2 website at tntech.edu and check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.